Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fueled by Impact. When I was in the second grade, I wrote my first book, quote-unquote book. It was typed on a typewriter, didn't even have the old computer plus dot matrix printer yet. It had a duct tape binding and a cardboard cover with this colored pencil drawing of the big climax scene, because second grade Mike had no appreciation for spoilers. And that wasn't my only book, it was my first book, and I wrote lots of short stories throughout most of my younger childhood. Then fast forward to my early 20s, I took a stab at writing a novel. Finishing a complete manuscript was actually a big project, it was a big deal for me, and until then, mostly I just started things, but didn't finish. The book was meh, okay, I guess. I mean, I tried to get it published, but the only interested agent that I could find, she ended up passing because she thought it had some real weaknesses and needed too much work to fix it. That being said, I made her think twice. So it was on some level an accomplishment. But here's the thing. After that, I basically went dark. The realities of adulthood. I mean, a lot of you know what this is. It's big jobs with lots of hours, family life. And so the creative and artistic passions got starved. And actually so did a good deal of my mind-body related passions. So this is a familiar story. It's one I'm sure a lot of you can relate to in some way. And some people might even say, sure, that's just how it is, especially at a certain stage of life. Full-time job, kids, it's just a reality that you have to learn to accept. And you might have been able to convince me that years ago, but I can't buy into that anymore. What I've come to see is that most people have more than one side to themselves. And if an important side of them gets pushed aside, there tend to be real consequences, chronic lack of fulfillment, not feeling true to yourself, unhappiness, or even full-blown depression, even physical manifestations. I experienced a good deal of this myself. It's almost like the parts of me that were being starved knew, hey, if you don't find a way to pursue these deep desires, you're going to be one of those people who looks back on life with big-time regrets. And I'm not afraid to make you sick if I have to in order to get you to pay attention to this call. So now I see this dynamic and all the associated challenges with so much more clarity. You might say that right now, there are three sides of me. There's the part that loves mind-body performance and well-being and wants to help other people live lives of fulfillment and well-being and true success. But then there's this other part that's creative and artistic that needs real dedicated time to write and create. But then there's this third side that needs stability. And I think tightly related to that is this rational, strategic, analytical quality. So the way I've decided to try to feed these multiple sides is through what's been called a slash career, as in lawyer slash actor. In my case, I have a portion of my time focused on mind-body performance and well-being. I have a portion focused on business and management consulting work, and a portion focused on writing and content creation. I've seen what a difference that this has made in my life. And even though I'm still relatively early on the journey, there are definitely no guarantees that the approach I'm taking is going to stick. I'm now that much more confident in saying there are a lot of different approaches to balancing these varied needs like time for passion or hobbies or the need to make money and so forth. But for most people, it just is not optional for you to let some important part of you get pushed aside unless you're prepared to deal with some heavy consequences and possibly to have major regrets when you look back on how you spent your time. I think this theme, this conundrum, it's always going to be a big part of what I aspire to help people discover and to pursue. And likewise, I think it's going to be a balancing act I'm probably going to be personally grappling with from here on out. And it's a topic that I am endlessly fascinated with discussing with other people. And one of those people that shares in my interest in this topic is my guest today. Ahmad Amin is the host of the If I Could podcast. It's a show that takes an inside look at what path people took to follow their passion. In each episode, Ahmad brings on a guest to talk about their journey. Previous guests have ranged from actors to comedians to magicians, even celebrity fitness trainers. Ahmad wants to demystify what it takes to follow your dream. And through this podcast, he's hoping that this inspires everyone to pursue what they're passionate about. If this is a theme that you enjoy, you can check out Ahmad's work. There are links in this episode. and I enjoy hearing from you guys. So please share thoughts, share feedback. And without further ado, I bring you my discussion on this topic with Ahmad Amin. Thanks again. Appreciate you doing this. So let's talk about your show. I first wanted to start there. What was the catalyst that turned your idea for your show from just a thought to something that you actually followed through on?
Mike, thanks for having me on your show, man. I'm really excited to have a discussion with you and kind of see where the conversation goes. The show, the idea was in my head for quite some time. And it really was out of conversations I had with people that were quote unquote successful in life, right? Whether they went on to become the CEO of a company, partner at a law firm. You look from the outside and you're like, man, this person has it all. But they were never really happy or fulfilled. And it was always like, man, if I could do it over again, I would do X or I would do Y. And I even remember years ago, Chris Rock was being interviewed and he's, you know, you would think he's successful. And even that guy was like, I wish I could have been a lawyer. I wish I could have done something with my life. That kind of stuck with me, right? It's always like there's an innate desire in people to want to do something other than what they're doing. Because what we've been taught is, hey, you got to kind of choose the like conservative path. You got to make money. You got to make a living. And then you kind of get caught up in this lifestyle. And then before you know it, you're just working a job. And whatever you wanted to pursue when you were a kid or younger, it still hasn't left you. And there's always this desire to want to explore it. So then I thought, all right, I'm going to go find people that are trying to do this or already doing it. And I just want to hear from them. How did they get started? I don't want to know about what they're doing now because they're doing it now. But I want to hear about how did they get started? What were their first steps? Because I think momentum is the hardest thing, right? It's the hardest thing to get going. And by sharing that, by kind of humanizing it and normalizing what they did, other people could get inspired and say, oh, that guy's doing stand-up comedy. That's how he started. I've wanted to do stand-up comedy. I think I have a path here.
Right. What about you then? What were your kind of childhood things?
I always wanted to be an actor and I was up on stage quite a bit in high school and my parents were like, this is a big no-no. So they were very, very nervous, very hesitant. I mean, my dad would talk to me all the time about like, this is not a good career path. This is not going to make you a lot of money. We didn't come all the way to America for our kid to want to be an actor. So there was just like a parent guilt and immigrants like hope that their kid would become a doctor or something that they could, you know, say like my hard work and sacrifice was worth it. But, you know, they were just scared, right? They were scared for their son and they didn't want my brother and I to struggle. Like they struggled. They wanted us to have stable, like you'll hear every immigrant saying like stability, like stable jobs,
yeah.
Because that's never what they had. And that's what they gave up to come here for is a better, a brighter future. And hearing that their son says, hey, I want to go to Hollywood and I want to act. They're like, is this guy crazy? Like I've worked all these years. So then I kind of just gave it up, right? And I'm like, all right, it doesn't look like this is a path for me. And I went down and studied computer science and eventually figured out how to get in on the product side. And it's gone well. But I don't think that desire to be on camera or just interact with people and some type of entertainment, that's never left. It's always been there. So that was another, like, I guess, catalyst for this podcast, because it allows me to have a little bit of creative freedom, interview people, get to know them, put my creative content out there and see how people respond. So it helps me go back to part of what I've wanted to do when I was much younger.
For sure. Yeah. Did you kind of struggle with any fears or doubts before actually putting yourself out there?
So I didn't even know like who would want to interview for this podcast. I had like two friends in mind and I'm like, eh, maybe they'll do it. And then I think the first conversation was with you actually, because you had already started your podcast. I didn't even know where to start, right? So it's kind of like analysis paralysis. It's like, what equipment do I need? How do I record this? What software do I need? How much time is this going to take? You and I have talked about, you know, just our families growing and we have little ones and there's so much responsibility there. So you could think of like a million excuses not to start. And for a long time, I just like kept harping on that. Like, I don't have time. But you have to make time. So I think the first conversation with you around, let me just logistically figure out what I need. Do I need a microphone? How do I record? How do I edit? So you really helped me at least get that out of the way. And then once we had that conversation, I was like, all right, let me at least try to get two people lined up for the podcast. And I spoke to two good friends of mine that one's, you know, a pharmacist by day, comedian at night, and one's was a financial professional that one day decided I'm just going to go and pursue acting full time. They both agreed to do it. I made a ton of mistakes in my first couple of recordings with them. So it was multiple takes, but that got me going. But I didn't publish it for a while. I just kind of sat on it because I was always worried about, all right, if I do this, who else am I going to interview, right?
So how do you eventually then move through that?
I just did it, right? Like, it's like, all right, I have the content. I know how to record this stuff. What am I waiting for? And once I started it, I knew I would have this pressure in a good way to now, all right, I can't stop now. Now I got it going. So now what do I do? How do I reach out to other people and figure out what stories I want to tell? And it really just, you know, spiraled from there. And for the most part, people have been very super, super helpful. They're very willing to come on. I haven't really encountered anyone that says like, no, I'm not interested in that. I think partially because the angle I'm taking is to inspire others and people want to help other people.
That's awesome. What about, so if you kind of take a step back, is there anything that you've learned about yourself through this process so far?
That's a good question. I don't know if I've learned the ability that I haven't had before. I've always been a grinder. And I feel like in a lot of these adventures that people take on, any type of new role, new capability, it's not all going to be glitz and glamour right away. There's this saying that one of the guys I interviewed with, Rehan Jalali, he says consistent persistence. So you got to keep showing up every day and you got to keep grinding it out every day. And eventually it becomes a habit. So it's just like forming a new habit, right? So I think just reiterating that all it takes is the same stuff going over and over, incremental improvements every day, that is also helping me in other areas right now. It's kind of helping me remember how to succeed all over again. So even my approach at work or just being a father of two or trying to stay in shape, all that stuff, instead of getting overwhelmed, it's like, no, how can I do this incrementally? And let me set my expectations so I can form a new habit and stick with that habit. That's how it's helped me.
Yeah, that's interesting. It actually totally resonates. In the end, it is really just these kind of one foot in front of the other steps that you take, yet that's not what you think about up front. You're kind of looking at the full picture and maybe even looking at the destination. Yeah. So you've talked to all these people, you're hearing these stories. Are there themes that are bubbling up or lessons that you think are rising to the surface as being the most impactful, either for you or for other people, for listeners?
I think they all share, there's a inflection point that they've all come across. And the difference with them has been, they didn't just subside those feelings. They said, no, I'm going to act on it, right? And once they made up their mind, they all kind of have the same story. What is that first thing I need to do? Is it go and audition? Is it figure out how to write a 5-minute comedy sketch? Is it learn how to do magic and perform in front of a crowd? What kind of magic do I need to perform? So their paths are a little different, but if you look at their frameworks, it's all the same thing. They all came to a point where they're like, do I really want to do what I'm doing for the rest of my life? So then it's like, what do I do next?
Yeah.
All right. How do I get out of this situation? And if you really take a step back, yourself included, how many people have you come across where it's like the same conversation over and over again? I'm not happy with what I'm doing. Okay. Why don't you go do something about it? Then you got like this rationalization of like, here's the 30 reasons why I'm not going to do anything about it, but I'll complain the rest of my life about why I'm not happy with my situation.
I've never done that.
Of course. So, you know, I think like it's that motivator, right? Like, We're all the same. We're all human. No one person is better than the next. No one person has some superpower that the other person has, doesn't. But it's the people that say, I'm just going to do something different. And if I fail, I fail. I'll learn something. At least I tried it. I don't want to spend the rest of my life thinking, what if? And, you know, they had successes, they had failures, but they kept going and they learned something every time. But they're on a different trajectory. They were walking this way and they kind of steered a little bit different. But if you even do that, like if you're flying a plane, if you even change the direction a little bit, you're going to end up in a completely different direction. So that's what I take away from every conversation that I have. And it's motivating for me because it shows like, maybe you won't become famous or super rich or whatever, but you will have done something that most people probably aren't going to do. You tried to do what you wanted to do for a long time and you live life on your terms and you made a living out of it. Not many people can say that.
That's powerful.
I'll tell you one thing, and this stuck with me. So this guy, he's fighting in UFC this weekend, and he's a local guy. His name is Bilal Muhammad, and he just had a fight like 3 months ago. And he's been in the game for a long time, like 10 years, I want to say. But it was his first like main event fight. And we were watching him, and I think like in round two, he got poked in the eye pretty bad, and they had to stop the fight. Like he couldn't open his eye. And the guy was devastated. You could see it in the ring. He's in tears. We're all, it's weird when you actually know the person and they're in the ring, they're fighting, you feel so connected to that person. And we were just like devastated for him because we know like how much hard work he's put in. And then he's fighting again this Saturday. And there was a quote by him and he said, you know, you look at me crying in the ring, and you, and I'm paraphrasing here, and he says, and you say, and you ask, why is he crying? And he's like, it's the work you don't see. It's how many hours I spend every day learning how to fight, the discipline, eating right, grinding it out, getting to the point where I could be at a main event. And for that opportunity to get taken away from me because of something I can't control, like that guy poked him in the eye. He can't see, fight's over. That's what people don't see. They just see the final result. That's kind of what's the problem, right? Whether you look at social media or like when you look at people successful on TV, it didn't just happen. There was a lot of work that went into it. We're just enjoying the highlight reel, but we're not seeing all the bloopers behind it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's like the took me 10 years to be an overnight success kind of situation.
Right.
Totally. Yeah. Just going back to that, you talked about that inflection point. It's interesting because a lot of people don't ever, they might harbor that private dream for their entire lives and never act on it. What do you think pushes somebody over that edge?
I think just a long, hard look in the mirror and being brave enough to say, I'm not happy. I think I deserve more. I think I can do more. I'm not even utilizing my talents. I'm kind of just going through the motion. I'm finally going to do something about it. And it's really easy to fall back into this trap of we do what we've been doing for our whole lives, right? Because this is easy. But they've gotten to that point where they know if they don't change, that Monday is going to feel like every other Monday. And they hate that feeling. And they don't care at that point if like, what happens if I fail, right? Like someone could listen to my podcast and say, this guy's boring. That's okay. At least I'm trying to put myself out there and I don't have this question in my head. I'm like, should I do it, not do it? At least I tried, I learned. If anything, it's helping me learn how to speak to people better. How do I interview and get some more thought-provoking conversations out? So it's teaching me a skill. You have to look at life as opportunity, right? It's not so much of what happens if it's something to go wrong. It's what happens if something can go right.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else. I have this theory. When we were in high school, there was like the academia part of it. So like 7:30 to 3:30, whatever. But that's not what people talked about, right? No one, it's like, whatever. I got to study. I got to get grades, whatever. But it was all the extracurriculars, right? Whether you wanted to be an athlete or you wanted to be in the musical or you wanted to be on the speech team. There's something for everyone to explore their interests. And then you get into the working world and all that's taken away from you. All you know is I got to catch the train. I got to go to work. I got to catch the train. I got to come back. I got to eat dinner. I'm going to watch Netflix. That's my life. We fall into this trap. So if you really want to get back into whatever made you happy, that creative outlet, you got to figure out how to do it on your own. And I think that's why so many people struggle. There's no structure behind it.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you think is important to talk about?
You don't want to look back at life, right? And wish like I could have done something differently. And we've all heard this before. No one's on their deathbed thinking I should have attended another meeting or gosh, I wish I would have sent out those meeting minutes. I should have looked at those.
But they are so important.
Yeah, they're so important, right? Or I wish I looked at those financial statements. No one's going to say that. So come up with your list. What is your list? And one thing that's really changed for me is I used to think about a lot of stuff, but I never wrote it down. But once you write it down, there's something about that, like that just clicks in your brain, like, oh, I'm going to get a podcast out. And then it was just like, okay, this is the trigger that I needed to now. I got to call Mike and figure out how he did this. Okay, now that's done. Who's going to be my first guest? Let's just get it done. But until I wrote it down, it was like 2 years of me just saying like, yeah, I got to do this, whatever. So I think that whatever that powerful like mind connection is to like make it happen and manifestation and all this stuff you hear nowadays, there's a lot to be said for that. If you have an idea, write it down, right? And then think about like, what is the first thing I need to do to figure out if this works for me? We do this in product management, rapid prototyping. Let's figure out if this sticks or not. Oh, let's do a storyboard. We come up with all this stuff at work and then we come back to our lives and we're like, I don't know how to do anything. Storyboard it out, write it out. What's that first step you need? And then if it doesn't work, cool. What'd you learn from it? Do you still want to continue? If not, what's your next idea? And eventually you'll find the idea, just like you find the product that works for your market and that works for your life. And then you just go from there.
That's awesome. Thank you for having this conversation.
Thanks, pal.
Got a cool story to share? Hit me up at mikekav.com. That's mikekav.com. Don't forget to give this a like, review on Apple Podcasts, and share it with people. It makes a huge impact and helps keep it going. But above all else, lead your movement.